I'm with you on that one. The only thing that I would have a conversation with if I was Bradley Beal and you were my agent is like, look, man, I want to play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're going to let me play basketball. If 104 is what I have left, if getting 95 of that gets me somewhere where I can play basketball, they don't have to know that's where I'm going. But I want to play basketball. I don't want to not play next year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would, if now I'm doing your job, but if I was the agent, I'd be like, that's fine. You can just, you don't have to play on opening night. Like, the buyout could happen.
In fact, your history says it might be better if you don't. Love Brad the Beal. It might be better.
If they're not budging today, then we'll just be here, and then eventually they're gonna budge. Like, the 98, I believe. Maybe this is bad agent, but I believe the 98 that they're saying they want to buy you out for, or the 95, that'll be there in January. Why take it today? Let's see if you hit the 104.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They should pay him everything, man. And then, like mm-hmm. I said, if they want to work something out, I don't know, Matt Ishbia, I'll take 95. Give me stake in the team, too. give me something.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It ain't just going to be like, oh, I took 95 and we're just happy. Like, no.
Nah, I'm not going to do that. Because I know what Devin Booker's deal looks like.
Man.
I also know how freely Matt Ishbia is paying 17 coaches. 16 of them aren't here.
Mm.
You're going to pay me.
Mm.
And then I'll leave. You paid Frank Vogel to leave. You paid Monty Williams to leave. You paid Mike Budenholzer to leave. You can pay Bradley Beal to leave.
Mm.
All those guys are getting their money. I'm going to get mine too.
If I was Phoenix, it wouldn't even be worth it to buy him out. Like, just keep him around. Pay him. Try and shop him. See if he
aprons,
wants to be
Brody.
Traded.
They're in cap hell.
I thought they got below it after KD, though.
Oh, I don't think so. Because they went and got the brother from Charlotte. That didn't bring $50 million back. What's his name? Jaylen, Mark Williams. No.
Jaylen was 30. Mark Williams, I think, was 10.
I think he was 10.
Well, and then maybe the way this Booker extension happens, maybe it takes less off the current bill right now. They might still be in the second apron for sure. Because they were deep into the second apron. But
let me look at Phoenix's setup real quick. D'Lo and Casey.
But even if they were, even if they're in the second apron, obviously you have like extra penalties that you have to pay. But we're not doing anything anyway. Like, what am I going to buy you out? Or maybe I'm even thinking like the stretch provision.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't do that.
They are. Is that right? Are they $11 million over the second apron?
Mm.
They got $53.6 million to Bradley Beal, $53 to Devin Booker, $33 to Jaylen, $21 to Dylan Brooks, $16 to Grayson Allen, $10 to Royce O'Neal. Oh, there's Mark Williams. Oh, Mark Williams makes much less than I thought. I thought I was with you. I thought he was closer to $10 million. He's only at 6.2. Mm. Yeah, but their money right now with Bradley Beal on the team is $246.3 million.
Mm.
They still lack. And I don't know how Bradley Beal's money would count against the cap once he was bought out.
Mm-hmm.
If you just erased it. Mm-hmm. Which isn't how it works, but just hypothetically, they'd still be $40 million over the cap.
Are you looking at Bobby Marks?
No, I'm on Spot Track.
Okay. They got the... Yeah,
Bobby's is the best, though. Bobby's is the one I understand the most.
Bobby has them... I'm trying to see because he's got an asterisk. I'm trying to see what that means. He's got them. Oh, including bonuses. So he's got Phoenix today at 220. The second apron is 207. So that's what.
The second, you got him. He they're at 220, and the second apron is 207.
207.8. And they're at 220 million projected salary.
So that's closer to 13 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, the numbers are off a little bit. There could be some dead money that they're putting in here. Oh, you know what? That might include these cap holds. The 246 I'm looking at, gotcha. That might include some of these cap holes that they have on spot trade.
And the killer about the that second apron that you brought up as well is like the way you can trade somebody is crazy. Like you can't. It has to be dollar for dollar, right? Yeah. Like it can't even. Or I don't know. It's a lot, and Phoenix isn't good enough to be in the second apron.
Right on cue, The Athletic reports the Suns and Beal are increasingly optimistic that the two sides will agree to terms on a buyout. Again, those terms are pay me every dollar you owe me. Those are my terms, and if you accept them, I'll be out of your hair forever. The exact amount of money that Bradley Beal is owed. Okay, it's not the exact amount of money. It is about $111 million over the next 2 years. Because I'll tell Phoenix, hey, fam, just assume I'm opting in. 53.6 this year and a 57.1 player option next year. Again, just assume I'm opting in, Phoenix.
And when you buy somebody out like that, like they buy him out, they pay him the $111 million. Like then, because the difference would be like a stretch.
Like they write him a check. Yeah, it's not the same as a stretch provision. It's not what happened with Dame. They're paying Dame, I think, for 5 years.
Mm. See, I wouldn't like
that's
that.
that's what the stretch is. I don't know if just envision and they cut him a check for $111 million and he leaves. I don't think that's how it works, but that'd be pretty amazing if it was.
Oh, my goodness.
Remember when Mike took a buyout? Was it from the Hawks? Mike Bibby?
Yeah.
I think he took a buyout from the Hawks.
To go to Miami?
And he went to...
Or the Knicks.
I was going to say the Knicks.
The Knicks. I think it was the Knicks.
And he got nothing. Like, he was like, just let me go. And he took no money and went, I think it was to the Knicks. Mm. Worst buyout stipulation ever. Man.
Yeah,
worst buyout
I'm not sure what Phoenix is going to be doing. But you mentioned we didn't even get the particulars, but they signed Devin Booker and kept him there for a while.
Is that that's the 150, right?
Yeah, I think it was a 3-year, $150 million extension. 2 years?
No, it's
two. 2-year, $150 million extension, 75 per year.
Yeah, Spot Track doesn't have that on because he has 2 years. So he has this upcoming year at 53.1. 26, 27 will be 57 million. 27, 28 will be 61. This new contract, man. Shout out Devin Booker.
Over the next 5 seasons, Devin Booker will make $321 million.
One more time?
Over the next 5 seasons, I guess starting this upcoming season.
Yeah.
$321 million. Devin Booker. Devin Booker might be like inching towards, what is it, 750 million when this is all said and done? Because I'm sure so far he's made $150 million at least.
Well, there is a way to find out.
Let's find out.
There is a way to find out.
Let's go.
So, let's go over some parameters real quick.
Okay.
Jesse's getting situated in the studio. Bring Jesse here onto the screen. So I got Spot Track here. They have not made the additions of the contract extension that I believe was signed yesterday.
Okay.
Are we going with what he has earned to date? Or are we going with what he will earn at the end of his current contract before these 2 years kick into play?
Wait, we're doing Devin Booker?
Devin Booker.
The question
and
was...
And you know how much he's making the next 3 years, Casey?
No, I don't know. I'm
you
doing...
You just said it.
Oh, the next 3 years.
Like, so then we have to do up to well, date, to this five. Date.
Yeah. To this day?
Were and you that was the track? Question.
No, oh. He that was in an article.
Okay.
I'll back my guy on this
okay.
one.
I'm just saying.
That
I'm
was
just saying,
it. That was in an article.
I
got your back on this one. I got you.
So I think we do.
I got you.
To we'll
date. Do to this date.
We'll just okay. add 325.
To this date. So Devin Booker, and let's be clear, this number is going to drastically change. Devin Booker, so far 10 years in the league. The former number 13 overall pick in the 2015 NBA draft. The former number 13 overall pick in the 2015 NBA draft. 10 years in the league for Devin Booker. The highest amount he earned. This is basketball. This isn't hard to figure out, especially with the player, the caliber of Devin Booker. Was last year. It was $49 million. We just went over the earnings of what the next 3 years are going to look like.
Deal kicks in this season?
No.
Or next season?
No, the deal doesn't kick in for 3 years.
Oh, I got you.
He signed one of those extensions. So he was extension eligible because of the Supermax. They added those two. And again, the number you're going to get today is going to be drastically different in 3 years. And it's going to be a whole different world in five. So the highest amount of money that Devin Booker has earned so far is $49.2 million. That's 10 seasons in the league for Devin Booker, the former number 13 overall draft pick in the 2015 NFL draft. Kenny's feeling confident. He ain't even writing a number. He's looking at the TV.
It's already written.
Many people are going to be led to believe that he's cheating because of that.
It was written.
Let me pull the standings right now for those that are unaware.
It's a little fishy, but...
It is
what do you mean
currently,
fishy? What are we talking about?
It is currently 10-4 right now in favor of Jesse Tapia, and I believe the season ends August 1st. Gentlemen, how much money has Devin Booker made to date? KC goes $207 million. Jesse goes $218 million. In 3 years, the number is going to be $387. In 5 years, that number is going to top nearly $600 million. But today, the number is $215,788,653 in one of the most closely contested games in history. Jesse Tapia, within $3 million, has won his 11th matchup of the season.
Job's not finished.
And KC is watching this season slip away.
You know, the car just won't turn over. You know, the engine just won't turn over. Well, feeling like my girls, the Aces, right now. It's just not turning over.
Man. We're on to Cincinnati.
DJ Skyhawk says Casey is devastated. Cole says Casey is washed. Jesse pointing at the WrestleMania sign. Man.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. There is an aspect, like a moment where Casey's doing the dances. I'm waiting for you to be like, damn it. It's really going to suck if Casey got it right.
I'm just, like I said, the car just won't turn over, man.
Hang in there, hey. Buddy.
Damn.
Hang in there.
When's
buddy.
The season over? August 1st?
August 1st.
Oh, August 1st. Man. Will Z says, see, Kenny, this is what happens when you run it back. Went for the same plan as last year. Feels like a shot.
We'll come back. We'll let Kenny catch his breath. We'll take our last commercial break, as good old JR would say. And we'll take you to the top of the hour here talking NBA basketball. Steelin' with KC brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Well, some news from James Hamm, who I think is in Cabo.
Yeah, he's got the suntan stuff on his nose.
Well, no, James. No. James is not in the sun. And if he is, he's got a hat on. I've learned this recently. Those redheads are terrified of the sun. The amount of times on the way to the ballpark, Katie said, "Do you think they'll have sunscreen? Can we get sunscreen on the way?" And Charles kept saying, "No, you'll be fine. We're under an awning. You'll be great." Okay, we're outside the stadium. Do you think they have sunscreen in there? No, maybe they don't have sunscreen. You're going to be fine. She even asked Charles, who you met, blacker than you, "Do you have any sunscreen here?" Charles looked right at her like, "No, we don't." James Hamm live from Cabo with all of his sunscreen on. According to a league source, the Kings are set to acquire Dennis Schroeder using part of the 16.8 TPE from the Kevin Huerter trade. Deal should be completed in the next day or so. Kings will acquire a future second. Detroit lands a trade exception. So it is a sign and trade after all, mm-hmm. with Detroit. This does, so the wording that's confusing me a little bit is it says part of the 16.8 million TPE. I don't know what that means. It clearly frees up some money for the Sacramento Kings, and James will be the first to tell you if he was here and not on a beach in Cabo that MLE, we're throwing the letters around like an eye chart. That MLE.
I struggled with that eye chart.
Can be broken. Well, you were blind up until like a year ago. Can be broken up into multiple different pieces. So I don't know what the partial TPE means, but I don't know. We'll figure it out. I know what using part of the TPE means. What I don't know is what that means for what the Sacramento Kings may want to do moving forward.
Right. And that's kind of what I was thinking about too. Does this affect a possible acquisition of Jonathan Kuminga? Because I remember on Thursday, a lot of people were saying that.
Real quick, Jill, who knows everything,
yeah,
literally.
That's what we need to
She probably knows questions. What's going on with Kuminga. We should ask her. Yeah. His salary is less than 16, so you can use it to take anything under it. So I guess they don't have to use all of it. Because he's $15
million
per. So I guess they don't have to use all of the 16.1 because it's 16.1 versus 15.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
We weren't smart enough to figure that out ourselves. So thank you. Thank you to Jill for that.
I
freaking geniuses over here.
I remember on Thursday, I always want to say Friday, but on Thursday, a lot of people believe that a Kuminga deal had to get done before Sunday. Cause Sunday, it was said that they couldn't sign Schroeder and still have the space to acquire Kuminga and sign him to a contract. I wonder if that's still the case.
Mm.
Like this, basically, long-winded way of saying, does the Schroeder deal sign that they can't get Kuminga and sign him to the extension?
It frees up the MLE. Because now I know what to do. It frees up the MLE, but I don't know how that applies to Kuminga.
Right.
So I don't think it would. But point being, I don't think that it would. Mm-hmm. What's the MLE? 15? 14? 14? 14?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's not what Kuminga's team is looking for.
Well, you can look for whatever you want.
Oh, your boy Paolo got his contract.
Uh-oh.
Oh, this is we are going NFL. I love this. This started like a year or two ago where Shams Charania tweets Orlando Magic star Paolo Banchero has agreed to a 5-year maximum rookie contract extension that could reach $287 million.
Mm.
Could reach $287 million.
Mm.
It could.
Now, it's a little less like the NFL because could reach is more like make all NBA.
Yeah, there's
I was going to say like the NFL, but like it could be 278. And yeah, it could be if they kept you the whole contract.
Yeah, it could be 278 if we don't cut you after the second year, the third year, the fourth year, or reduce your playing time at any point after your first season, or if you don't throw for 60,000 yards, then we have the right to veto the whole thing.
If any of that happens, you make $7 million. Yeah. But it could
no, if any of that happens, you make $7.
It could be $250, $50 million if you're in the NFL. All right, 5 year, 287. I saw something earlier trying to figure out who.
That team's solidified now. Like they do you think, and we did this with Indiana, I feel like we just had this conversation about Houston. Mm-hmm. Is this Orlando's team? Is this the team that they're like,
yeah,
this Desmond Bain acquisition, Paolo, Franz, bet you wish the Kings had drafted him. This is the team where it's like, all right, this is how we compete. This is how we compete against Indiana, Milwaukee, New York, Boston. This is how we compete against the big boys in the conference.
Yeah, it certainly feels like it. Certainly feels like they're going all in with these guys. And I understand it. I'm with it. Like, you got a guy in Paolo who, you know, you can argue whether or not, like me and you, we could argue whether or not he's a star. But Paolo. I'm just saying, just in general, people do. Yeah, like, I don't see Paolo like that.
I argue with you on that.
That's fine. They believe they got one. They believe they got a guy who could be a perennial all-star, borderline MVP conversations type guy. So when you have him, yeah, you start to build pieces around him, and you start to try and get a guy like Desmond Bane. You start to see what you can do at the point guard position if you believe in Jalen Suggs and Franz Wagner and making sure he stays there. Then you try to build everything out that way. Like, that's where they're at right now. They are at the early stages of this is the team we got moving forward, at least for the next few years. I understand it. I'm with it. I think that's the right move. I think that's absolutely the right move.
Especially given the way that this conference looks. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Jesse.
I was going to say, they're probably not anyone's first pick, but I wouldn't be shocked if somehow, some way, we were talking in June about them getting out the East.
Yeah, well, look at the conference, though. Like, Ty's gone for the year. Dame's gone forever. Tatum's gone for the year. Mm-hmm. I think the Knicks are good. I think they just went through a really weird situation in you know their coaching search process and hiring Mike Brown, but I still think that's a good basketball team.
I'll make my jokes, but Cleveland will be up there still.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. but to what you just said, I wouldn't be shocked at all if Orlando came out of this. Yeah. And I'm not even suggesting it's a down year, but if you're Orlando and one, they have a talented team. You have a chance to grow in a similar way that Indiana maybe did 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, yeah, maybe you're in the Western Conference Finals. Maybe, you know, New York gets you out of there or somebody else gets you out of there. You come back the next year when maybe the conference is a little bit stronger because Tatum's back, because Ty's back. But you're stronger.
Yeah,
you got a year under your belt together. You know, with Desmond Bane and Franz, that whole group playing together, although Desmond Bane's really the only, you know, major addition. Mm-hmm. And then you know, you've got a year together and all of a sudden, yeah, no, we could compete with anybody. You make those small tweaks like Indiana made, and I'm going to use Indiana a lot as an example because I love what they did.
Yeah.
But you make those small little roster tweaks where it's like, yeah, we get something done.
Do you think, I'm of the belief, I don't really care what you had to do at that time, if you feel like that was the move you had to make. But do you feel, in hindsight, seeing the way the market is and how everything is going, it was an overpay for Desmond Bane on their part? Kind of feels like
so. I don't want to know, and here's why. Here's why I say no. If you think that's your guy, like, that's the one you have to have. Mm-hmm. Don't F around. Go do it. Now, I get the question.
Like I said, I get the question. Hindsight, like, it feels like you can go get them for two first-rounders.
I get
right
the
now.
Question, but it's like, go ahead, Jesse.
What's the thing, like, you say, like, you can get him for two, like, maybe he wasn't available for
that's
two it,
so that's
picks.
Exactly what,
it's
like
you offer some big time to, like, so you can make him available.
Yeah, Orlando might have made Desmond Bain available. Mm. And they hit him with The Godfather. LeBron wouldn't know this reference, but you make him an offer, you can't refuse. Memphis may not have had any interest in trading Desmond Bain until all of a sudden, two got to three, three got to four.
Right.
All right, we'll do it. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm with you. And
I get the question, though.
I am a believer of, like you said, if you feel like this is the guy that's going to help you take another step, I don't want to say there's no such thing as an overpay, but you go get him, like you said. You go get him. It's cool. Like, a month later, if his market, you find out his market would have been one first rounder or something like that, That's fine, but look, we're right here in a position to contend for an Eastern Conference mm-hmm. championship. So at the end of the day, it's all that really matters.
Mm-hmm. Is it a – so now that everything is finalized in Houston, is Houston and Oklahoma City now at the top tier of the conference mm-hmm. with anyone else who is competing in a tier below?
Yeah, that's the way I look at it. I think a lot of people talking about Denver. I think
Denver had a great offseason.
They did.
I think they had a great offseason, but I see them in tier two.
I agree.
And I see the Lakers in tier two. I mean, you could put anybody in tier two. I would probably put Denver at the top of them. Might even go so far as to go OKC, Houston, Denver, mm-hmm. and then you can create a third tier with the Lakers, Warriors, and Timberwolves or whatever you wanted to do.
Yeah, I feel like Denver. Like,
disrespectful.
We got to see them play, but I feel like Denver's knocking back on that door for being true contenders again.
I have respect for a team who goes, man, we got our ass kicked in the playoffs because we had no depth. Mm-hmm. They were able to, I mean, the most important thing for them was, could they get off that Michael Porter Jr. deal? Mm-hmm. And they did. And they've been able to add a lot of depth to their team. Maybe not quite as much depth as we originally thought, but they're going to hold Jonas Valanciunas hostage in the United States, and he's going to
now. So they
going to have to play for.
They got off,
David Adaman.
Talking about Denver, they got off of Michael Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm. Russ is gone,
and Russ is gone. Everybody talking about the Bruce Brown acquisition. I got to see it.
Really?
He's a good ball player, but I want to see. We haven't heard anything about Bruce Brown in 2-3 years.
Yeah, where was he playing?
He was in Indiana, and he was in Toronto.
Oh, Toronto's where he wound up.
Okay. And I know more for his outfits than anything he did on the floor.
You are a big Bruce Brown.
Yeah, I can't wait for them games at the Nest.
Cowboy.
Yeah, I'll be ready to go. I'll be Bruce Brown of Sacramento.
Mm.
Yeah. But.
Need to go get them cowboy hats before it's too late.
I know, right? I know. Damn.
Sac State going to be like 9-0, and Sacramento's going to be sold out of cowboy hats.
Sac State made news over the weekend. Them boys outdueled Bill Belichick what's my man's name in Ole Miss? Lane Kiffin. took that man straight out of SEC country. That's crazy. We'll talk about that later in the week. But I just got to see it from Bruce Brown. I got to see it. I mean, right now, not that he was a bad player or anything like that, but right now we're going off of one, you know, top, quote unquote, top flight year as a role player that everything kind of went right for Denver. And to just assume that he's going to jump back in there and be the Bruce Brown of 3 years ago, that's fine. I need to see him be that level of player.
Oh, he probably doesn't have to be that. I don't think he'd have to be the Bruce Brown of 3 years ago.
Well, they don't. They're a lesser team than they were at that point. Aaron Gordon's a year older. Jamal Murray.
He's 3 years still older. Yeah. At least from the last time Bruce Brown was here.
You don't have KCP, who played such a big role on that Denver team.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Porter Jr. was pretty good that year. You swapped him out with Cam Johnson. Maybe Brown will fill in the role of KCP, and maybe you got guys that are ready to step up for him. But I want to see it from Bruce Brown.
Well, as long as Valanciunas doesn't go to Greece, they should be in great shape.
Yeah, they get Valanciunas, that's going to be a good look. That's already a good look, even if they didn't. It's already, they've had a
no. It's
point,
it
they've
is
had a really good offseason.
It is better if Valanciunas is there.
Yeah,
like Valanciunas is a good. Valanciunas is a really good ball player.
Yeah.
Like I like Valanciunas a lot. I hate that it didn't. I hate that it didn't last longer.
But I agree
Pause
with
in Sacramento.
I agree with what you said though. I got OKC in Houston on that top championship tier, Denver probably by themselves on that next tier. And then you're looking at Minnesota, Clippers, Lakers.
Yeah. I think the Lakers and the Warriors are really interesting.
I don't know if the Lakers did enough.
Well, here's the thing, though. I feel like with teams that make a big trade acquisition in the middle of the season, the next year can go one of two ways. The Lakers team is essentially the same. Golden State, as of right now, is essentially the same. So you have the midseason acquisition of Luka Doncic, the midseason acquisition of Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. Going into that first full year together, you have a training camp together, you have an offseason together, you have things that just did not exist for you as a basketball team the year prior. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of the things that we're talking about with the Sacramento Kings and Doug Christie and Zach LaVine. Like, they're going to have elements available to them that they did not have available to them last year. They're going to have off-season workouts, training camps, off-seasons together. They have that. But you look at the Lakers they started out hot after the Luka trade, even before LeBron stepped back on the floor. Or, I'm sorry, even before Luka stepped on the floor for them. You know, we talked about it. They look rejuvenated. They look different. Like, they are playing with a different level of energy. Luka shows up. Team's good. And it's like, oh, all right. Let's see what this winds up looking like. Jimmy shows up and just undeads the Golden State Warriors. They were in the ground with dirt on them. And Jimmy Butler came and dug them out, and they went on this big run. And it's like, okay, so is that what next year is going to be like with Jimmy Butler and the Golden State Warriors? They're just going to start out, and are they going to be that good? Or was that like, multiple emotional highs, meeting at the perfect moment where you got Jimmy getting out of Miami, you got Steph feeling like, hey, we've got a little life here, and you just, things click, things work, things happen, and you take off and have a pretty strong finish to the season. You can go one of two ways. Like, hey, man, they have this full off season. They're off and running. The other way could be, yeah, what happened at the end of last year wasn't real. Mm-hmm. It was that series of emotional highs, and it wasn't real.
Right.
So they're back to being, now, are they going to be a team that, Steph looks despondent over after they get their ass kicked? Maybe not. But are they going to be a team that's like 16-2 at one point?
Right.
Yeah, maybe not that either. And so it's like, what version of the team are you? And these are all players who are, and not so much Luka, but certainly Jimmy with the Warriors, they're a little bit older. Mm-hmm. So, Luka's still young. He's not old at all. There's other questions about Luka Doncic. Mm-hmm. And the off-season videos and articles are telling you he's ready. All right? Jimmy, just keep Jimmy good. He's 36, 37 years old. We talk about the Kings being old. Warriors are pretty old, too.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's a completely different. Mary,
you add Al Horford to that, you don't get any younger.
Adding Al Horford is crazy. How old is Al? Is Al 40 or is he 39?
I'm going to say 39. I don't think he's 40 yet.
Yeah, I don't think he's 40 yet either. We got to stop talking like playing at 40 is normal. Al Horford is 39. He turned 39 in June.
Okay. So he'll be 39 all year long.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He'll never play this season at 40. What is the average age of the Golden State Warriors right now?
Let's see. The only young players they have off the top of my head is, without Kuminga, is Pods, Moody, and like Post and G Santo. Those are the only young players they got. And I don't even know how old they are.
What year is this? I think this was before the Jimmy acquisition, so I don't know that this is current. I got artificial intelligence says 27.
I don't know about all.
Yeah,
that.
I don't think that's right. And they probably, you know what, come to think about it, they probably don't have an updated list because rosters aren't finalized. So I guess that's all we have to go off.
Technically,
but
they still have Kuminga.
Average age. Let's hit that button and see what it does. The Lakers are 29.9. They had... Oh, this is the wrong year. Hold on. Stand by. All right. Gotcha. Portland is 24. Phoenix, 28. Golden State, 28.2. Sacramento, 27.7. Sacramento was fourth. The Clippers were actually third. Golden State second. Phoenix first.
And that's crazy because, you know, they add Al Horford. You got Steph. You got Jimmy. You got Draymond and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought you would have been, you know, in the 30s if you were at Al Horford. And then you factor in Buddy, that thing skyrocketed to 44.
Oh man.
Yeah. I think the Warriors are gonna be a good team. I think they're gonna battle for, you know, West is so tough, man. I think they'll battle for, you know, a playoff spot, a top six spot. But if I'm thinking top six right now, I'm thinking OKC, Houston, Denver. I'll keep Minnesota in there.
That's nice of you.
The Clippers. And then you've got...
Clippers, a 50-win team last year. Minnesota, 49. Golden State, 48. What about... Did you say Memphis?
I didn't. I think Memphis does take a bit of a step back.
Okay.
They were 8 seed.
They were at 48 wins. And then as we have outlined, the fall off from 8 to 9 was pretty steep. It was an 8-game drop off.
Yeah, I think the Warriors are battle for that 6 seed, anywhere between 6 and 8, something like that. And like I said, 6 and 8 sounds a certain type of way, but that could be one game.
Yeah, no, that's what it is here.
Yeah.
It's one game here. I think the top teams are exactly the same. So you don't have San Antonio getting in the top 6.
No.
Neither do I.
Not yet.
Neither do I. I mean, oh man.
I don't think I said the Lakers.
It's a 34-win team last year.
Who's that? The Spurs?
The Spurs.
Hmm.
Full year, probably, of De'Aaron.
I'll be better. Oh, they'll be better.
I want to. I'm almost.
That's
I almost.
That's a steep, steep
climb. Yeah, I almost want to cheat. And, like, I could see Portland, like, if you have Memphis at 48, Sacramento at 40, I could see San Antonio fitting between those two.
Gotcha.
This year. Okay. Hopefully Sacramento's not at 40 wins this year, but
who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows? There was something else I was going to say. Oh man, I can't remember. That's what I was going to say. Sorry, it's a little unrelated, but you were talking about the Spurs,
mm-hmm.
and you were talking about, like, will they be better? And I was thinking about the draft pick and all this other stuff. Hey, did you see VJ Edgecombe the other day?
Mm-mm.
Jesse, did you check him out? Oh, my goodness. So I was familiar with his game, but I don't know what I think I just saw the other day, but he looked crazy out there. Man, he looked crazy. They play today. I think they play OKC today.
Okay.
He took 27 shots, right?
I didn't see the stat line. I think
you got 27 shots up in that game.
He looked different, though. He looked different. Like the way he was moving, the way he handled his speed, his explosiveness. He looked just different than all these other rookies. Yeah, I wonder what it translates.
There was a clip circulating where he was talking.
Yeah,
to
him. Oh yeah, I did hear that. That he's a top level trash talker.
That's my type of guy. It's my type of guy. But now he looked. I was just thinking, like I said, I haven't seen Dylan Harper yet.
I've been so agitated by the Kings. I like when I saw clips, mostly on Sunday, of like summer league stuff. I was like, "What is this? Where? Like, why is there? Why are they on a court? Like, where is this being played?" And it's like, "Oh yeah, no, we're the only bitches who ducked out. Oh, I got it. Okay, that's right. That's right. No. Utah didn't duck out of the Utah summer league.
So that's another frustration of mine." That's another frustration of mine, and this might go beyond the Kings because the same thing happened right here with the one in the Bay Area. To my knowledge, I'm pretty sure I would have like seen this if it happened. To my knowledge, Dylan Harper didn't play, right?
Oh, well, I'm sure they're saving it. I haven't heard anything about Dylan Harper, yeah.
I'm sure they're saving
it. Why does this keep happening in the California Classic? Like I just said, Utah, Ace Bailey, and VJ are playing. Like, it's all good. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're all going to Vegas. But every time here in the California Classic, whether it's Sacramento or Golden State, oh no, we're going to save him for the Vegas one. Well,
Spurs held Wemby is out. Wemby out too, right?
Well, they did.
Wemby didn't play.
They did. So I'll play TV guy for a second, or marketing guy, or Adam Silver. I don't know. Do we know the first summer league? What's the main event?
I think Dylan is going up against somebody.
Well, that's why then.
Yeah.
It's the main event. Like,
well, PJ just played Ace. Didn't they play each other?
But well, okay, but what's the game? What's the first summer league game? Is it Bailey versus Dylan
he's
Harper?
Playing somebody. It might even be Cooper. I don't know, but he's playing somebody.
Oh, yeah, it like has to be Cooper
somebody,
Flagg.
Yeah, somebody high level.
That's why.
So for sure. But my point is VJ just played against Ace Bailey. That's like 3-4.
One versus two.
Opening day of summer league, you can catch VJ Edgecombe versus Dylan Harper.
Also, that's the main event?
I believe so, yeah. It's the 7 p.m.
When's Cooper Flagg playing?
Oh, that's Lakers Mavericks, excuse me, at 5
Bronny
p.m.
versus
Cooper. Yeah, Bronny God versus Cooper Flagg. Sorry, missed that one.
Hey, say what you want. Say what you want. But there's your headliner.
Yeah.
Cooper Flagg versus Bronny.
And
it's or really Cooper Flagg versus the Lakers.
The Lakers always
LeBron
do
will be courtside. Yeah. I mean, they'll all be courtside for that.
Bronny played yesterday.
I saw that.
I don't know his stat line, but I saw the dunk.
You said LeBron would be
courtside. That must have been his only basket because it's the only damn thing I saw.
Will LeBron be courtside in Lakers gear?
No.
No.
No, it'll be courtside in LeBron gear.
LeBron.
Or
LeBron
Louis Vuitton gear.
He'll be courtside with a hat that says, you can always go home again.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Something stupid like that. Just show up, the little Laker logo scratched out on the shorts.
No, now he'll just show up in Cavs practice shorts.
Like did you see him at the facility?
I did. At the facility the other day.
What the hell?
Yo, the man, what's wrong with him going? He lives in Akron once in a while.
Go to Lifetime Fitness in Akron. What are we doing?
He knows what he's doing.
Oh, he
absolutely. At the Cavs facility.
It'd be hilarious if he just pulled up too. Like, I'm just going to walk around for a bit. Hey, somebody tell him I'm out here.
That is funny. LeBron, a funny dude, boy.
I did think that was hilarious. Like, oh, LeBron just stopped into the Cavs facility for practice, huh? Get some shots up.
Bron, much like myself.
Of course.
Well, yeah.
Bron, much
Bron,
like you.
Much like myself, has seen the writing on the wall and starting to take up golf.
Saw that. Yep, saw that.
Bron hit it. Is that all that straight? That's straight. Yeah.
It was probably like the 11th hole. That was the first decent shot he get. They had to film all of them. Make sure he got
it.
What
would really set everything off is the LeBron tweet. Yeah, shout out to my guy, Mike Brown. Really happy he got the Knicks job.
Oh, man. That'd be hilarious because everyone would know he's lying. Like, literally everybody would know that he's lying.
Oh, man.
Good luck to Mike Brown.
Yeah.
And LeBron James.
But that's how I guess we got Brandon Miller when he was a rookie. I think he played.
Mm-hmm. He
didn't play that well. That's why I remember it.
He did. He played terrible.
But, and they always skip on the California Classic. Next year, they need to handle that. Although, do you think we're going to get some top flight rookies next year? It's Warriors, Lakers. Just say the same teams. Warriors, Lakers, Heat, Spurs, and one other team. I don't know. That's another reason. Like, I would have liked it anyway just because it's basketball. But I knew Dylan wasn't going to play. Like, we didn't really miss out on nobody. Mm-hmm. So I was like, it sucks, but it's not like we got the same teams that are in Utah right now. And we missed out on VJ and Ace and stuff like that.
I just don't understand, like, how one, their game's being played today. No one will know how they go because you're not allowed to watch them.
That's tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, tomorrow. I checked on that. Okay.
Yeah. But you're right. No, nobody.
It wouldn't matter if it was today or tomorrow. Empty they gym. Could be happening right now for all we know. they could go into the facility and go, guys, just never mind.
They could play that in the Warriors practice facility. And we wouldn't know.
But they didn't play yesterday's game in the prep. Like, they played it in the arena. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know that because there were six people there. I just don't know how the league looks at that and goes, yeah, no, let's keep bouncing this back and forth between Sacramento and Golden State. And if it's Sacramento's wish, then whatever, man. To hell with y'all then. Just come out and state it. Look, we don't want this anymore. Mm-hmm. Just say that out loud. So we don't have to wonder this whole, oh, it's so hard to put on the. Okay, dude, like. Utah's managing to do it.
Just fine.
There's summer leagues. Las Vegas, the Cox Pavilion is trash. Like, and they managed the whole summer league, and every executive at the Thomas and Mack Center, at the Cox Pavilion, all around the, for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We can't figure out how to put on a pre-summer league tournament for 5 days. It's that hard. It's that difficult. It's that stressful for this franchise.
Bro, and you got endless resources, bro.
It's not like
you don't have the money, or you've got endless resources as the Sacramento Kings organization of the National Basketball Association.
I hate that I feel like I've become the guy that hates this franchise because I absolutely don't. They just make so many stupid moves that frustrate me. Because if I'm the Kings, and the idea that the Kings just went, oh, man, yeah, no, thanks, Joe. You guys take this one. This is so tough for us to put on. I'm looking at the arena like y'all can't get the lower bowl full.
Come on, man.
This city loves basketball. Look, I get y'all got the Giants. Y'all got the 49ers. Y'all got – it's the Bay Area. Y'all got everything out there. The home of the California Classic is Sacramento because our fans have decided the home of the California Classic is Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pack this arena. We'll chant beat L.A. We'll make it a big deal. Year after year after year, because it is what our fans want.
Yeah.
But they're just like, oh, no, it's too hard. We have to host four teams. All right, man. That's cool.
I just don't understand. I never understood that. And then it was like, oh, man, we gotta get a team together and all this other stuff. You're getting a team together to play literally a week later. What's the difference?
Oh, we just got our coaching staff, and this is just so hard.
Everybody's going to be in Vegas.
This is
everybody's literally going to play and coach the next week.
In five freaking days. Oh, man. Those 5 days mean everything to us. Oh, God. What would we have done without those five days?
For a team who hasn't played since April. What have you been doing?
Yeah, we ain't even going to talk about that part.
What have you been doing?
Y'all have had nothing to do for a long time.
This isn't OKC trying to figure this out. You guys haven't played since April.
By the way, the Golden State Warriors once won a championship and then hosted the California Classic a few weeks later. Now, nobody went except 40 Wins guy.
Yeah, shout out to them.
But other than that, they had no problem doing it. This team always finds something to complain about, man. No wonder their fan base is... The fan base just mirrors the damn organization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now I'm that guy. God bless it, man.
Drop in a Kangs real quick.
No, I feel like... No, this is how villain origin stories start. You just feel like you're right. Like, I feel like I'm right. And now I'm a villain.
Well,
No wonder they don't talk to me no more.
Well, if they can get a deal done, it'll make you feel a little better about them. I can officially say Scott was cooking.
Yeah.
Right now, he just turned the stove on, and we're like, but here's the thing, the stove works.
But here's the thing. I'm not even talking about Scott Perry. I'm giving Scott Perry an opportunity to do his job, whether that involves acquiring Jonathan Kuminga or anyone else from now until the start of the season. I'm going to give my man an opportunity to do his job. I'm going to give him a trade deadline to do his job. My frustration lies with the way the organization moves. And there's a lot of people with a lot of questions about what went on the last 4 or 5 days, because there are people adamant that this deal with Jonathan Kuminga was really close. There are people adamant that it was not. And this organization needs to, and I don't know if it's Scott Perry. I don't think it is. I don't know if it's anyone in his inner circle, but they need to tighten this thing up. Because if it in fact wasn't close, there were people in your organization talking to other people as if it was. Now, to be clear, that could have been a player or players that were involved in this. Yeah. We know of at least one player who's been talking. Now, I don't know that he's been talking to the media, but you text a phrase that someone else unassociated with this team texts me. Almost verbatim. And it's like, all right, well, we know where that came from.
Right.
And so they got things to fix, man. Yeah. And I hope it involves them getting a deal done that makes this basketball team better. I think Jonathan Kuminga is a good basketball player. I'll be curious to see how his career plays out, or how the next few years of his career plays out, if he's able to play for a coach that doesn't hate his guts. Because all indications are Steve Kerr doesn't like that.
Man. And I think it's, we talked about it on Thursday, but I think it's not surefire. It's not, this is absolutely going to work. But I do think going after a guy like Kuminga is the right type of, I guess gamble would be the right word for an organization like this. This we talked about, like, how do you find these type of players through the draft, through specific and opportunistic trades? And this potentially could fall under that category. I'd absolutely go and try and get this deal done.
Well, whether it does or it doesn't get done, the Sacramento Kings are using the Kevin Hunter TPE to acquire Dennis Schroeder. So that does open some things up for Sacramento. How does it influence the remaining moves that they make, if there are any? Well, only one way to find out. And you have to tune into us, otherwise you won't find out. We'll be back here tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Agantes. Let's go, baby.